less than a month out. So be aware of that. Be praying as we have this opportunity to minister to our community. If you are interested in helping at all with that, I think we got most of our workers, Adrian, or do you need some? Maybe you always need help. So if you are interested in helping, check with Adrian. She'll be able to plug you in somewhere during that week. Excuse me. Wow, that was interesting. Get that out now before I preach today, right? Anyway, so be aware of that. Isn't it a wonderful opportunity to serve here at Second Baptist Church? Also today, I want to come back. This afternoon, we do have a wedding shower for Matt and Kaylin. There are a couple of college students here that are in our ministry. So it'll be a blessing to them. It's 2 to 4 today in the fellowship hall. All right, I believe that's all that I have this morning. So I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, quiet your heart. You know, last week during the sermon, we talked a lot about God's mercy. This morning, we're going to be focusing on the grace of God, His goodness, and how He just pours out His blessings upon our lives in so many different ways. And maybe right now, as we have this time, just spend some time thanking God for His goodness. Thank God for how He has blessed you. Even this past week, maybe there was something unexpected that happened, and it just made your heart happy. See that as a gift from God, and give Him the praise for that. I'm convinced that the more that we are thankful, the more that we express our gratitude to God and for His goodness in our lives, the easier it becomes to serve Him. Because we will serve not out of obligation, but from the overflow of our gratitude to Him. Father in heaven, You are good. You bless us beyond what we deserve. And we just want to say thank You. If we spent time this morning calculating all the ways in which You have blessed us, Father, we would be here a long time because You are that good. And so we pray, Father, that as we have this time to sing and to dig into Your word, that our hearts would become more in awe of just how good You are. May we just see how wonderful and amazing Your grace is to us. Father, may all that we say and do during this time honor and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, "This Is Amazing Grace"?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that You would take my place, You would bear my cross. You laid down Your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that You've done for me. our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a fading love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your I sing for all that you've done.
Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, we're going to continue our thought from last week about God's work of salvation. For those of you who were here last week, remember we talked about the mercy of God. In fact, we talked about how many times in the gospel writers, in their writings, it's hard for them to, when they're talking about salvation, not to mention mercy and grace together, because we talked about it being the two sides of the same coin. You have God's mercy and God's grace working together in salvation. Remember last week we talked about how salvation ensued. It happened as a result of God's mercy. God's mercy is when He gives us, or He doesn't give us, what we deserve. God's mercy is when He doesn't give us what we deserve. What we deserve truly is separation from God from all eternity in a place that He had prepared for Satan and his angels, a place called hell. And that is the judgment on sin, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God for all eternity. But God's mercy comes in when we go to Him and we repent and we believe in what Jesus has already done for us on the cross by being the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And God's mercy comes in and it washes over us and it makes us clean. Amen. And so we talked about how that mercy is so vital and how we need it every day. We talked about Lamentations and how His mercies are new every morning. And I'm not going to rehash that entire sermon and you say thank you, amen, because we need to get to the other side of the coin, right? As we think about God's work of salvation and how His mercy comes in. And you know, it's interesting, one thing that we didn't talk about last week, in the worship of Yahweh and the Israelites' day, when you had the Ark of the Covenant, you had the mercy seat there, and how God's presence would be there, and how the blood would be applied, and it says that God's presence would come to the mercy seat. All God has always been about extending mercy to His children, extending mercy to those who would believe. But also, in the same vein, I mean, we just sang about it. I hope you knew or you understood the intentionality this morning of the songs that we sang, and this is amazing grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. And once again, amazing grace, because we need it repeated in our ears just how amazing the grace of God is. Let us talk about it this morning and let us gain even more awe and wonder of what God is doing each and every day in our lives, because He pours out in exceeding abundance His grace upon us. We want to talk this morning about how salvation is ensured by God's grace. So let's look at this, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. If you found your place in God's Word, would you please stand with me? I'll be reading again from the Christian Standard Bible. The scripture will be on the screen for you. Let's go back to verse 3, because I want to see this passage in its entirety. We too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by what? His grace. There it is. His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you for this amazing, wonderful grace that you bestow upon us each and every day. And I pray, Father, as we examine your word once again, as we look at this incredible grace that was poured out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that our awe and wonder of you would increase and what you have done will increase, so that we will go out from this place with incredible appreciation and gratitude, and we would overflow with a desire to do the good works that you have prepared for us to do. This is our prayer, Father. Speak to us today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So as we look at this today and we talk about God's grace and how salvation is ensured by God's grace, the main idea, I believe, from this passage, and again, let me say this up front, and I hope you understand that I'm really focusing on two aspects of this passage of Scripture. There's so much more to unpack in this passage of Scripture. In fact, if you remember, if you were here last week, I told you that in preparing for these two sermons and looking at the many commentaries that are available, many of those scholars believe that this passage itself is one of the most incredible summaries or synopsis of the gospel in all of the New Testament. And so when you think about this, when you think about a summary, it only touches on a few, on several different things. And so last week and this week, I'm only touching on a couple of things within this passage. We didn't even talk about the regeneration too much, about that new life in Jesus Christ that you could spend more than just one sermon on. We didn't talk about that washing of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. All that is a mercy of God, but I don't have time enough to talk about all these things. But I think it's important that we focus on a few things so that we can grasp those things and be able to apply them to our lives when we go out of these doors. Amen? Otherwise, I'll spend a lot of time this morning talking about a lot of things. Thank you. I was waiting because I was like, I'm going to have to work on my notes here just a little bit and add some things. All right, now let's focus on this grace of God because it's worth our time. So the main idea is that God's grace enables our freedom in Christ. I love that we just sang Amazing Grace, "My chains are gone." Not only does God's mercy come in and it saves us, and it makes us a new creation, but that sin that enslaved us, and remember we talked about that last week, those chains are gone now. And now we can live in the freedom of Christ. And I think God's grace comes in. I mean, you think about what Jesus Christ had to say in John 10:10, when he said the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what did he say about himself? "I have come that you might have life and have it," what way? "More abundantly." Did you hear that in the verse today? How it was poured out on us in Jesus Christ in abundance. And so Jesus Christ comes in with his grace to abundantly apply that grace to our lives so that we can live in freedom, so that we have the power that we need in order to live this life the way that God calls us to live it, so that we might live, as the Apostle Paul talks about, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you are saved this morning, if you are a child of God this morning, I think that's your goal, right? That's my goal. I know that's your goal. You want to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so God's grace, this amazing grace, comes in to enable us to do it. I can't tell you how many times that my flesh wants to take over in those moments when I mean, all sorts of times. But if I just yield to the grace of God in my life and the working of the Holy Spirit, I am empowered to live in such a way that you would call it holy, because God has called us to live holy lives. Whew. I thought I was going to be a little more tame this morning than last week, but I don't think so. Whew. So the key question is this: how have you embraced God's grace that results in abundance life? I like that word there, because remember last week we talked about there toward the end about the prodigal father embracing the son who came home from being in a far and distant land, and how that embraced ensured that son that he was not going to be a slave any longer, but that he was loved and that he was going to be exalted back to his original position of sonship. And now, as we have been embraced by the mercy of God, may we embrace His grace in such a way that it empowers us to live abundantly. Because that's exactly the way God wants you to live. I hope you understand that this morning. Jesus died so that you can live in abundance. He doesn't want you to be enslaved by sin any longer. He does not want depression to overtake your life. Amen. He doesn't want sorrow and grief to rule you forever, although it could. I hope you understand the freedom that comes in and the grace that has been made available to you. Please apply it to your life today. Have you embraced God's grace that results in abundant life? So number one here in verses 6 and 7, I see God's grace establishes our future existence. It establishes our future existence. Listen to what He says once again here. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, now listen to this, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. God's grace establishes our future existence. You know, before we repented of our sins, before we fell on the mercy of God and allowed that mercy to wash over us and to change us into a new person, we were far from God. We were, in fact, Scripture tells us that we were enemies of God. And we would even be called subjects of God's wrath. But as a result of God's grace that comes in, that He pours out upon us abundantly, our status has changed. We were without a family, but now we are part of the family of God. We are children. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We are co-heirs. And there is an inheritance waiting for us. Amen. But I want to tell you something, that part of that inheritance right now is you living in abundance. Because Jesus didn't say, I want you to have abundant life in the hereafter. He said, I want you to have abundant life now. And I want to tell you something. Let's get to that point where we enjoy the abundant life now, so that it is only a foretaste of the glory divine. Don't we sing that in Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's what this life is supposed to be about when we walk with Jesus. It's a foretaste. And I don't know about you, but I just can't wait. I am tired of my inclination to sin. And there's going to be a day when that won't be anymore, Mr. Steve. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. You know, I can't even imagine that when my initial response to someone doing something to me or saying something to me that is hurtful, that my initial response is not going to be retaliation. But that's how it is, isn't it? My initial response to someone cut me off in traffic is to say, "Learn how to drive," right? Am I the only one? That won't be my initial response anymore. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, 7 through 14. And again, I give you this whole passage because I want you to see the beauty of God's grace here. I do not have time to unpack everything that's in these eight verses, but I want you to hear the grace of God, and I want you to hear about the inheritance that is awaiting us because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, "In Him, being in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to what? The riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding." Here's what you got to understand. I want you to just pause for just a moment. It says He poured out upon us with all wisdom and understanding. God knows what He's doing. Amen? That's what He's trying to say here. God knows what He's doing. He's going to pour out His riches, not because we deserve it, because that's exactly what He wants to do. Did the prodigal son deserve the embrace of the Father and the robe and the ring and the feast that ensued? No, he didn't. He did not deserve that. But the Father said, "I'm going to give it to you anyway because that's just who I am." You know, we sing these songs sometimes. There's a newer song called "Good, Good Father," right? You remember that? You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Have you ever wondered why we repeat those phrases? Maybe it's because the first time we don't get it. Maybe the second time we're starting to get it. And by the third time, hopefully we understand that's who God is. He's a good, good Father. "And I am loved by you." That's what that, remember that chorus? That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. Again, we repeat these things. I don't know about you, but I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. I know that's surprising to many of you. I know it's surprising to my dad sitting right here. I know that he would never say that about me when I was growing up. I know Michelle would never say that about me. She says I'm the most reasonable person in the world to get along with. I'm an absolute joy to be around 24/7. And y'all are laughing because you know that's not true. That's why we repeat things. I need it. I don't know about you. I needed those things pounded in my head. Because here's the reality. There is an adversary that is roaring like a lion. He's like a roaring lion. And he's spewing lies into your head constantly. And he's telling you that you're not a child of God. And you don't need the grace of God. You don't need the mercy of God. You don't need forgiveness. And that is a lie from the depths of hell. And we need to repeat the truth of the Word of God, that He loves us and He's gracious to us. Where was I at in whoo? He made known to us. There I am. Look at the screen. Yeah, there it is. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. I don't know if you've ever noticed here in chapter 1 of Ephesians how many times the Apostle Paul says, in him. You know, we were talking about the repetition of things. I think it's very purposeful because we've got to have this understanding that it's not about us at all. It's about Jesus. It's about this wonderful Savior that we have. In him, here it is. I know this, that was a long way to get to where we're going. In him, we have also received an inheritance. Whew. Because we are predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. Now listen to this. In him you also were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. Then we just sing in Amazing Grace, the hour I first believed. Ooh. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Again, I don't have time to unpack all of this, but when we talk about how salvation is secured by God's grace, here we have it. We are sealed by God. The Holy Spirit is a down payment on our souls for our inheritance. And let me tell you something. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're never going to lose him. Not because you have control over it, because that's just the way it is. God said it in his word. He says, I'm going to place a down payment on your soul, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit. And God is never going to lose the Holy Spirit. That's God's grace. Do we deserve that? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I don't deserve that. But by his goodness, he says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. There's a, you know me. There's all sorts of songs that we could sing, but I want to touch on. There's one in our hymnal, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore. Talking about that inheritance, right? Just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace, there it is, I am accorded in heaven a place. Just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will be through the ages glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. It'll be glory for me. Will it be glory for you? So what is our response in all of this? Look to our eternal estate. Look to that day. I'm convinced that the more that we look toward heaven, and the more that we understand what is waiting for us, the more earthly good that we're going to be. Not because all our focus is on heaven, but we understand what is afforded to us, and in appreciation of what is waiting for us, we go and we tell others about this Jesus. Amen? Listen to what another passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 3, running into chapter 4, Paul says, "For those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds," here it is, "heirs according to the promise. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father!' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir." It is all through Scripture that because of Jesus Christ, we can be grafted into the family of God, and we are adopted as sons and daughters of the King. Now, here's where we're going to go here in just a moment, all right, with this next one. The reality of it is, if I have that label on my life as a son of a king, or you have that label as a son or a daughter of a king, then why aren't you living like it? Why am I not living like it? Because I have been afforded a great freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. He deserves our obedience. And that's what he's talking about here. We have this privilege of being able to call out, "Abba, Father," to a being that once we were enemies of. And now we have been brought so close by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't deserve that. That's what God's grace, right? I don't deserve it. So think of this one too. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and what? His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place that's awaiting us. Look to that. Are you looking this morning? While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Do you believe that? Just one glimpse of our Savior in glory. The hymnist there says, it'll make all of this worth it. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, right? I'm going to have to get a drink of water now. I think I've been shouting a little bit this morning, eh? All right, let's get to the second one because y'all are ready for the second part. And this is it. I only have 2 points today. Are y'all excited? God's grace empowers our present existence. Listen to what he says in verse 8. He says, "This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things." What thing? The fact that God's grace has been poured out abundantly upon us so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to what? To good works. God's works, or His grace, it empowers us to be able to do these good works. These are good and profitable for whom? for everyone. When you think about this passage of Scripture, or at least for me, I can't help but think about the early church. When they were empowered by the Holy Spirit and God's grace was upon them, do you remember what the Scripture tells us? It says that they found favor in the eyes of the people. Because what they were doing was good and profitable for everyone. What they were doing, here's the idea that I want you to grasp a hold of. You are not a reservoir of God's grace. God doesn't pour His grace in your life so that you may hoard it and keep it for yourselves. He says, I want you to have my grace so that you can be a conduit of it in someone else's life so they can experience the very grace that you are afforded. Because why? Because that's just how good God is. If I am good to you, I want to be good to somebody else. If He is my good Father, He wants to be somebody else's good Father because He desires for all to come to repentance in Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. In Ephesians chapter 2, 6 through 10, we looked at 1 through 5 last week. Let's finish this thought that Paul brings forth here in this passage. It says that He, Jesus, also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. There it is. He wants you to be a trophy of His grace. Not just in the hereafter, but right now. Right now. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Now listen to this in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared ahead of a time for us to do. God has a plan for your life. Amen? He didn't just save you, although that should be enough. He says, I want to use you. Is that something that I deserve? Absolutely not, but that's God's grace. He says, I want you to be a part of what I'm trying to accomplish in the world today. This redemption plan that was set forth from long ago. He says, Jonathan, you have a chapter in that redemptive narrative. You have a chapter in that redemptive narrative. God is writing it as we speak in this moment. You're going to have ups and downs. But hopefully by the grace of God, you have those moments where you are a conduit of His grace in someone else's life. Those good works will not put you on display, but the grace of God on display so that somebody might look at your life and say, I want that. The world has a lot of, how should I say, false things that it proposes that will fulfill a person's life and it will give a person's life a meaning. But those of us who have been redeemed, those of us who have experienced the mercy of God and are recipients of His grace on a daily basis, know better. In this world, there are individuals, they are groping around in darkness, longing for some light. And here we are, as children of God, we are called to be salt and the light of the world, just as Jesus Himself was. And this is what we're talking about. On page 600 in your hymnal, more about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. There it is, already in that, didn't take long. More of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love, who who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom, sure increase, more of the coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Not so that I can keep it to myself, mind you. But so that I can be a conduit to someone else. Oh God, that Your grace would flow freely through us. Just as it flowed freely to us. Isn't it amazing? That God wants to use you as His instrument of grace in somebody else's life. He doesn't have to. He is fully capable of doing it on His own. And yet He says, Jonathan, I want to use you. Put your name in that statement. Listen to what Titus, if you go back just a page or so in your Bible, Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. Actually, before that, let's talk about our response real quickly. Look to our earthly effort. I mean, you've already heard that. Look to our earthly effort. Titus chapter 2 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." What is that saying already? It's saying we've got a work to do while we wait. We sing the hymn sometimes, "We'll work till Jesus comes," right? Then it says, "He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession." Now listen to this last little phrase, "eager to do good works." So that begs the question this morning, are we eager to do the good works God has prepared for us to do? Because we just talked about how His grace has saved us, and now we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared beforehand for us to do. So are we eager to do those good works? Are we each and every morning when we get ready to go out into the world, are we saying, "God, what is it that You want me to do today? How can I be a conduit of Your grace in someone else's life? Let me be that instrument of Your grace in someone else's life so that they can see that You're a good, good Father. So that they too might be able to sing the songs that we even sang this morning about the amazing grace of God." Last hymn I want to bring to you this morning, and as we close, I think this is a great way to, as we think about that coin that you flip up in the air, and when it falls on your hand, there's the mercy of God that doesn't give us what we deserve. And then you flip it again and it falls on the grace of God and it gives us what we don't deserve. We cannot help but want, in my opinion, or we should, I should, want to send the light. There's a call comes ringing, or the restless waves. Send the light. send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. Send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light. Send the light. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Not just in my life, right? But everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Are you hearing the repetition there? Are you hearing the call of what we should do with our lives? Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Go back to the question I asked earlier on. Have you embraced this grace that results in abundant life? If you haven't, will you do it today for the very first time? And if you have, I think it's clear from the Word of God our responsibility. And maybe this morning, as we ended with send the light, someone came to mind that God is saying, send the light to this person. Maybe this morning, that's part of your response. God, I want to be a conduit of grace in this person's life. Bring them to the altar of God, whether it's here at these steps or where you're sitting, because you know that they need the grace of God just as much as you do. Would you plead for that person this morning? And would you allow yourself, God, ask Him, God, please help me know how. I don't understand just how I could be a light in this person's life. But I know that's what you've called me to do. Our lives have intersected in such a way that I know that you have called me to do something. God, what is it? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing Just As I Am. And I would just want to allow you to have a moment here before we sing, because I want us all to sing this wonderful hymn. And may it be a reminder that God's grace is something that we don't deserve, but He not only calls us to come just as we are, but He calls everyone, because His grace is sufficient for all people. Would you respond to the Holy Spirit this morning? Would you respond to the Word of God right where you're at? If you feel the need to come forward to the altar to pray, do so. But just spend a few moments. Again, basking in that grace that God has afforded to you, but do it in such a way that moves you to extend that grace to somebody else. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your grace. We're grateful that it reminds us that we are now sons and daughters of the King, and that we have a home in heaven waiting for us. But it also reminds us that we still have work to do. May your grace propel us to do the good works that you have prepared for us to do. In Jesus' name.
Just as I am. Guilty to be part.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today and for your wonderful attention. I'm going to ask Brother Steve if he would go ahead and come on up. Brother Steve and many of our church family are involved in disaster relief, and just want to give him an opportunity maybe to give you an update and some opportunities. There is a slideshow going of some pictures of the recent activity of our disaster relief team here in our association. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. I'm going to let Mr. Steve just kind of give you a word on what God's been doing.
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you to everybody because our offerings and through the Dixie Jackson, that affords people like me that don't have any better sense than to go try to cut down a tree that's bent in 40 different ways. But as you can see, there's just bad things can happen when a tornado comes through, and we just want to help. But also, we also want to help our congregation. If you've got a tree that busted a limb or something, we might be able to come help you. Now, we're not professional tree trimmers, but I'd like to say we are professional amateurs. And if we can help you, we certainly would love to. If you've got a leak in your roof before the insurance can get it taken care of, maybe we can put a tarp on there. We would just love to help you in any kind of way. We just want to get you back on the road to recovery. Sometimes, you know, this happens and people are overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. Well, we can get that process started. And then you can take it from there. We're just here to help. And so please, if there's a need, let me know, and we will see what we can do. Now, I'm not saying we can do everything, but there's a chance we can help you out. And if we can, we certainly will. And I'm sure the last slide has come up. If it hasn't, there are times we like to leave a little artwork for folks, and it blew by. There it is. We love to cut some crosses in the stumps of trees just as a reminder for the people that we're here and we love them. God loves them. But more importantly, if you've got an unsaved neighbor that doesn't know Christ and they have a need, you know, we will gladly come and try to meet that need. And we will also tell them about Jesus. So, anyhow, that's what I want to say. Again, just thank you so much for your giving.
Amen. All right.
I'm sorry. One of the most important thing that went on, the tornadoes that rocked through Little Rock and Wynn, Arkansas, there was at least over 30 salvations. Because of the disaster teams that were able to roll and help out because y'all gave. And that doesn't count the number of seeds that were planted as well.
Absolutely. Amen. And that it just goes very well with what we've been talking about, especially being eager to do good works. This is a practical way to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you want to know how you can be a part of disaster relief, it's not just in chainsaw work, but there's all sorts of ways to get involved. You can talk to Mr. Steve and Ms. Sharon, and they would love to give you information about that or get you in touch with someone who can help you. Amen. All right, if you'll stand with me, we're going to pray. Our men are at the back to receive our weekly offering. Again, thank you for being so faithful to give. Continue to do that. Continue to be faithful and to give God back a portion of what He's given you. Let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're grateful for your grace and your mercy. And we just want to say thank you of everything that it affords us. I pray that as we go out of this place that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus and we would find individuals in which we could be an instrument of your grace to even today. Thank you for the offering, and we pray that you will use it for your honor and your glory and for the advancement of the kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.